لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. أنا في رحابك بيت ربي، أنشودة نشوى تلبي. أنا في رحابك بيت ربي، أنشودة نشوى تلبي. وأطوف بالبيت العتيق تصوبها دقات قلبي، وأطوف بالبيت العتيق تصوبها دقات قلبي. لحنا شجيا رآه ذكر الذنوب فذاب ذنبي، لحنا شجيا رآه ذكر الذنوب فذاب ذنبي. أنا في رحابك بيت ربي. لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. أنا منذ طرت إلى حمى البيت الحرام، لغتي كمنع الشاق دمع لا كلام. أنا منذ طرت إلى حمى البيت الحرام، لغتي كمنع الشاق دمع لا كلام. لما دنوت حبوت في ذاك المقام، وبكيت معترفا بذنبا كالركام، كالركام. وسألت ربي عند ذا حسن الختام، وسألت ربي عند ذا حسن الختام، فأجبت أبشر أنت ضيفي لن تضام، فأجبت أبشر أنت ضيفي لن تضام. أنا في رحابك بيت ربي، أنشودة نشوى تلبي. أنا في رحابك بيت ربي، أنشودة نشوى تلبي. وأطوف بالبيت العتيق تصوبها دقات قلبي، وأطوف بالبيت العتيق تصوبها دقات قلبي. لحنا شجيا رآه ذكر الذنوب فذاب ذنبي، لحنا شجيا رآه ذكر الذنوب فذاب ذنبي. أنا في رحابك بيت ربي، أنا في رحابك بيت ربي. لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
الله أكبر،
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، لك والملك لا شريك لك. لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم،
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، My dear brother and sister in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the third tape of Hajj, and this will be the story and the example and the wisdom behind many action we do in Hajj. We start with Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam is a father. He married a woman called Sarah. They do not have kids. And as a man, he won't have kids so bad. And he get older. But his own wife gave him a license and tell him, please, if you really love kids too much, what about Hajar? She was a servant and a slave. According to some report, maybe from Egypt, maybe from Ethiopia. Allah knows exactly where she's from, but most likely from Egypt. Anyway, he married her. After he married her, some jealousy came to the heart of Sarah. Now, he had been commanded to take his son Ismail alayhi salam and go to where the Kaaba is. The Kaaba at this time was not there. It just was left over of the Kaaba. and actually no even left over. I'm sorry, it was nothing really. Nothing. Completely land has nothing in it. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam has been commanded by Angel Gabriel. He had been instructed to give this news to Ibrahim alayhi salam to leave Hajar in this land without nothing. And he left her with her own boy, infant boy, okay? The only one he has in his life. And he will leave them with little bit of water and little bit of something. And he start leaving without even saying anything. Now his wife Hajar, she asked him, "Oh Ibrahim, who you leave us to?" And he didn't answer. She repeated twice. And she looked at him and she said, of the meaning of, "Is Allah command you to do so?" He said, "Yes." And another report, he just awmak, meaning he just moved his head of yes. She said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never leave us alone. Go." Imagine a woman who is an infant boy, have nothing. Now a woman who is infant boy has nothing. And she obeyed her husband. To be left alone in a desert with no meaning. Meaning now the means of surviving is not there. What we learn from that? The obedience. Obedience is very important. And sometimes we misunderstand the power of obedience. Actually in Islam, I said in another tape is, everything in Islam is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been given it to us for one topic, obedience. Allah do not need our worship. Allah do not need none of what we're doing. But it is a state of obedience. Like I said in another tape is, look for example, when you work for some manager, and the manager sometimes give you small task or small command. And sometimes you think, it doesn't mean sense. It doesn't make sense for him to give me that. Why he give me this task? But if you really an obedient person to your manager, you said, he has some wisdom I do not know. By this way you obey without questioning. Meaning is now, the task is not really the topic. Is the topic is how much obedience you're going to do. How many things we do, we cannot know the ultimate wisdom behind it. We do not know really what the wisdom behind it. But actually when you think about it, the wisdom behind it is, number one, the obedience. To test our obedience, our faith with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Almighty One. By this way, we learn from here the obedience of a woman, a wife, to her own husband, even when he put her in a condition has no meaning. And she have faith in Allah. She didn't say, "Oh Ibrahim, what are you doing?" and start nagging. No. She said, "Oh Ibrahim, is Allah command you to do so?" Look at the woman. Because a woman is what? A servant of Allah. A husband is what? A servant of Allah. What's the difference? You have a duty, I have a duty. He gets commanded to do so. She has been advised to be in obedience. Topic is closed. And this sometimes what we lost. We start looking for a purpose and meaning and use intellect. In the times, the main intellect is to use wisdom and said, "I'm a slave before anything." And a slave obey first. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam left. Hajar alone. She has a few or some water and some dates. And wonder what happened. In a hot weather like that, is the water will be finished. When the water is finished, where is she going to get water? No water, no food, nobody passing by, nobody lived there, nobody. Now, because of nobody, she had lost all the means now. No means. No means at all. No means. When had she lost all the means, now she starts running. She starts running to a mountain called Safa. Ratab Hell, called Safa. She looked for something she cannot find. She ran back to another mountain called Marwa. And again, she repeats that 7 times. According to some report, she lost all her energy. She has no energy. She has no way even to try anymore. And even she squeezed her breast, no any milk. She has no even saliva. Even in some report, it's meaning of she have even no blood coming. By this way, she lost everything. Now Ismail alayhi salam is dying. Not hunger, dying from thirst. Lips is cut. A mother seeing her own son dying, and she has no means. Try to live in this situation. Try to think about it. And she lost all the means. But with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she realized in the right time is she has all the means with her. She raised her hand to the sky. And she waved to the leftover of the Kaaba at this time, which is just a little bit of leftover of rocks. It was not built yet, nothing. Because I forget who would build it, Ismail alayhi salam. And what she did? She called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support her. And she said of the meaning of, O the owner of this house, you bring me here, you give me what I need of surviving me and my boy. And in some report, actually at this moment, Angel Jibreel was already there. But when the time of obedience happened, when she called Allah only as the only meaner and the only doer, and this is what Allah wants from us. Right away, Angel Jibreel, he dropped or he hit underneath the toes of Ismail alayhi salam. And once he did that, wonder what happened. Zamzam came. The well of Zamzam came. And she became the owner of the well of Zamzam. A woman, Allah elevate her in the Quran and to mankind until the day of judgment of one obedience to the husband. How many women we have like that in the Quran? We have the woman of Pharaoh. When she believed in Allah above anything. We have Maryam alayhi salam. By this way, obedience doesn't matter boy or a woman or a man or a woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate whom He wants according to the state of the heart. What we learn from that? When we go to Hajj, we're going to do Safa and Marwa. What we learn from that? Who is the first one to do that? We imitating a woman to the rest of our life. And when you do Hajj, you cannot do Hajj and escape Safa and Marwa. Safa and Marwa and the Sa'i is an obligation and a pillar of Hajj you have to implement. Why we have to implement? Elevation for a woman called Hajar alayhi salam of her own yaqeen, her own faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cry about the condition of our woman. And some people said, what about our men? Our men too, we cry for. Because imagine Ibrahim alayhi salam, he then said, oh Allah, my only son, what do you want me to do? I love him so dearly. I get him after all this year. No. Obedience is obedience. Obedience is obedience. For father or mother? Because Allah is just. He gave Ibrahim alayhi salam a test, and he gave Hajar alayhi salam a test. Now to continue the test, Ismail alayhi salam grew up. And when he grew up and he became a young boy, when you are in the Arabic Peninsula or any desert, once the son become like a young boy, this is the time when the father look at his son as a new generation of men. And this is why we can look to our own children and get upset when they act like boys in a time when they should be acting like men. Very important to grow up. Why? The father actually in his heart waiting for this moment to feel his own son. He's becoming a man. This gives a joy to the father so much. Why? Because in a desert environment, a man or a young man meaning a supporter. A supporter of his own father. And always a father waiting for his own young boy or young child to be a man. Just to start seeing his own fruit coming and help him out in his life. But wonder what happened. At this moment, he is a boy growing, but the love of Ibrahim alayhi salam to his own son is growing too. What's meaning? Some scholar said the peak of the love of Ibrahim alayhi salam to Ismail was the time of Allah commanding Ibrahim alayhi salam to butcher his own son. Why? Actually, some scholars say something very nice, and I like it very much. Is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not want to butcher Ismail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He won't butcher the heart of Ismail in his father's heart. Because Ibrahim is Khalilullah. He's the most beloved to Allah. And cannot be the one who love and the one who close by cannot be partner with another love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not like that. And this is what we learn here. We learn we should not love anyone above the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our kids, our wife, our husband, our whatever we own is just a trial. It's just a trust. They will never live forever. Like one man one time, he was walking by and he saw a man blind, keep crying. He said, what happened to you? He said, I cry over my wife. She's dead 25 years ago. He said, 25 years ago you cry over her? He said, yes. And he said, you lost your eyes for her? He said, yes. He said, subhanAllah, I'm surprised about a human being lose his eyes and use his crying for some another human being died and do not cry for the one who never died. Which one is more benefit? The one who died cannot benefit you, or the one, he will never die, and he is the only one benefit you. and again we lost them. We lost the essence and the reality of love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above any love. And in Surah Tawbah, Allah make it clear, those who love their parents, their kids, their wife, their family, their belonging, their houses, their merchant, their money, above Allah and His Messenger, be waiting for a torture from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even Allah ended, Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-fasiqeen, Allah do not give guidance to those who are fasiq. Why Allah called the believer to be a fasiq? If the love of the dunya or the material or what they own above the love of Allah. And you find in Quran many verses, do not let your kids, your wife, your family distracting you from the message. And this why is a journey of Hajj, one of the purpose of it, to completely make you migrate from the environment of ownership, which you really do not own it, to the immigration to a land which you do not own nothing. To put you in a reality, this is a reality. You will die alone. You will be resurrected alone. None of your family will benefit you. Everybody will be questioned about his own deed. What we learn from that? Imagine a man going to his own wife and said, I saw a dream. My Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell me, instructed me to butcher our own son. Today, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. I know a woman almost calling 911 for her husband because he shaved the head of her own son, and the shaving she didn't like it. She's ready to call 911. I know many women, they did mischief to the husband because he did something just he didn't like or she didn't like. I know men who beating their own wife for something stupid. Where is the manner? Where is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I know women just squeezing the husband and really want to divorce him, just to really put him in a hard time, just to get what she wants. Where is the fear of Allah? Today it become a mania between the Muslim families, women want divorce. And also between men, the men has no manner with the wife and kids. And the kids has no respect to the parents and the wife, the mother. What's going on? What happened? It is the absence of Iman. If each one focus on his own problem, the connection between him and Allah, we will be benefit all of us. My dear brother and sister in Islam, time is very short. And Hajj is not a journey for 10-15 days and you come back. Unless you understand what you're doing and what's the purpose, what's the wisdom behind it, you will just do a ritual and come back, same thing, and no benefit. By this way, when I do Sa'i and Safa or Marwa, I remember Hajar. When I'm surrounding the Kaaba and making Tawaf, I think about who built it. Look at this. Ibrahim alayhi salam go to his wife, command her or ask her, and he tell her what happened in his dream. And the wife, what she said, whatever you saw, you do, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now Shaitan came to the wife, you crazy, he saw the devil. This not was Allah, this is the devil. And he whispered to her, he said, your husband is crazy. What she did, look at the faith in the woman when she has faith in her own husband. She took some dust and threw it in his face and she said, go away, you are the devil. How she know he is the devil? Because she trusts her husband. She know who her husband is. Today, how many of our wives trust the husband? I know some wife, some brother tell me, the wife tells the husband in front of his own kids, I do not trust you, you are a piece of this, you are a piece of that, and she keep insulting him, you know, and she's supposed to be a Muslim. Where is the fear of Allah? And sometimes 80% or even 99% of what she said is a bunch of lies. Her own understanding. Is this woman really fear Allah? And she do dhikr, she makes salah, she do everything. MashaAllah. But zero obedience to her husband. Do you know in a book called Al-Kaba'ir, the major sins, is a small chapter about the four quality of a woman among the woman and wife to be in paradise. And also a fourth quality of the woman would be among the people of hellfire. But today if you said to a sister or a wife that, she said, what about you? You're the wrong one. You're the one you're doing. And she start give you a long list of do and don't to you. Wallahi, I say to everybody, please, wake up. My own fault, I am responsible in the front of Allah. Your own fault is your own responsibility. She said, okay, if this is your own my responsibility, why you advise me? You should not advise me. Look how she can't play game. She dropped, like become like a relationship between husband and wife, bing boom. Now, if really each one of us as a husband and wife understand his own responsibility, a husband has certain responsibility, inside and outside. Inside, he has to provide the food, he has to provide the shelter, he has to provide the clothing, and he has to be patient in a time of misses. Meaning when somebody or when a woman go to a different cycle in her own months. Yes, we have to be patient. All this and treat his woman with good manner. This is her rights. And fulfill her physical need is his. Also, her rights. I was telling to one sister just a few hours or 1 hour before I came, is cooking in a house is not an obligation for a woman. Cleaning the house is not an obligation, it's a charity from the woman to her husband. And a charity for her own children. She does not have to do it. Actually, they should do their own work. Yes, she does that when these children very young, they cannot take care about themselves. But once they grow, they should be active and take care about their own stuff. I remember in Haram, in Mecca, in Haram, in the time of Hajj, when I saw a woman was crying so heavily. And after maybe a couple of hours, the same woman running after a man, taking the slipper in her hand, keep beating up and crying. Wonder what happened. She was beating her own husband in the haram, the time of Hajj. This is why I said to our brother and sister, prepare yourself of the state of obedience before you go to Hajj. Because what's coming in your heart now, what you have now, the sickness and blindness and follow shaitan and serving shaitan now, it will show up when you go to Hajj. It will show up more. But people do not believe me. But watch what they're doing when they go there. All the sickness start increasing. Last year, a woman came to me and crying. I said, what happened? She told me, from the time we came, my husband beating me up and screaming to me and he nagging to me and every day in Hajj. Excuse me, something wrong in here. Are you in a journey of Hajj or a journey of Tocha? What about the one with a bad tongue until her husband shut up? You shut up. Imagine it become famous now. The father, the woman tell him, you shut up. The kids, you shut up. Everybody, you shut up. Subhanallah. What we learn. Imagine if a woman and a man like that go to Hajj, what kind of Hajj they have? Imagine la rafatha wa la fusuqa wa la jidala fil Hajj. No any kind of state of sins. Even to non-Muslim or to a tree or to an animal or a bird or even a fly. And imagine you do mischief to your own husband or your own wife. One of the major sins, but a lot of our sisters do not know it, is when a woman talk bad or loud voice to her husband. You know? It's a major sin. She said he's wrong. He's wrong and his fault is above his head. Meaning he is responsible. He's responsible about the mistake. You're responsible about not obeying. What are you going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whereas we can learn the family unity from the situation of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hajar alayhi salam, and Ismail alayhi salam. Now, when he, Ibrahim alayhi salam, went to his son, he said, oh my son, I've been commanded to butcher you. Imagine, look at the son now again. He said, oh my father, whatever Allah command you to do, do it. You will find me a patient one. Look at again the manner of the father and the manner of the child. Why are you killing me? Who you are? You know, sometimes look at us today as a family and look how the children treat us. Like we're not a father. Sometimes I see a boy or a daughter treat her own father or his own father almost like a boy in the street. And when he go to the school, mashallah, very respectable to the teacher. I said, what's going on? How come for somebody we have no any obligation, we respect 100%? And our own father, we could not give them respect? And sometimes we forget, if the father I give him respect, you think he would be bad to me? He would be yelling to me? He will be upset of me? Unless he really a cuckoo or really somebody very with very bad manner and has no Islam. But in reality, you think somebody would be bad to you if you're good? But where is the even vision? Sometime today when Allah, I said to everybody, today I said, oh Allah, take my soul. Wallahi, I said, oh Allah, take my soul. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said of the meaning of, if you, Allah, descended a fitna in the earth, take my soul before I become maftoon too. I become in a trial and tribulation too, because you never know. Today, the way I see it, people are blind. Big blind. Can be a husband, a wife, the relative, neighbors, whatever. I'm talking about Muslims, supposed to be, but blind. They pray. Yes, they pray. The fast, yes. The do Hajj, yes. But the blind. Where is the blind coming from? The heart. Why? Because the sickness. Something Allah only knows. They cannot hear. They cannot comprehend. They cannot listen. Why? Why? Is fitna from Allah? Is a tribulation? We already in it. If anybody has a doubt of Iman, he will discover it. What we have to do in a blindness like this happen? Worry about your own self and advise whatever you can. And that's it. What about your own children? They listen or you don't listen is not your duty. Finished. Finished. I know it's tough. I'm talking about it. And I have a problem too by my own.
because I'm in the middle of the boat. Don't forget, when the fitna comes, everybody will have it. Everybody, nobody will be saved. The only thing will save you is the connection of Allah and seek refuge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And said, oh Allah, save me. Give me mercy, Allah. And we're going to talk about this because we lost our deen. We lost the meaning of deen. We only have a skeleton and a layer of Islam. But the reality of Islam is not there. We do not believe in Allah. We believe in the means, we believe in dollar. Look at Hajar alayhi salam. She has no means, but she believes in Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he accepted the command and teaching of Allah, and he went and he ready to butcher his own son. For the obedience of Allah. At this moment, wonder what happened. Before you do the action, physical action, meaning in your heart, the love of Allah has to be above of the love of anybody else, because now you're going to butcher your own love. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw the sincerity of Ibrahim alayhi salam to fulfill the command, and the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam full of love only to Allah and no love for Ismail alayhi salam, at this time he said, Ibrahim, you have been fulfilled the right of what you saw. O Ibrahim, we give you instead of your son. Achieve. Why? As a gift from Allah of the obedience of his own servant. And this is why we make zabiha. As a sunnah of Ibrahim. But sometimes we misunderstand. Every time you make zabiha, you remember, where's my love? Where is my love? I know people, when they make zabiha, they collect all the good meat, they give it for themselves. And all the bad meat and leftovers, they give it to the poor people. Subhanallah. And you're supposed to give the best to the poor people. Again, what in the heart show up in a time of action. When we make tawaf around the Kaaba. This Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as obedience, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail to Allah, Allah gives him the greatest gift. He instructed Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son to build the first house for Allah. An earth to be known for all mankind. A gift again. Look at when the family in a state of obedience, Allah will shower them with mercy and blessing. And even Ibrahim alayhi salam, after that he said, O Ibrahim, call people to come to pray to this house. He said, O Allah, my sound cannot reach somebody. He said, O Ibrahim, you obey my command and we take care about your message. And Allah make everybody listen. When you look at 2.5 million coming from every place on earth, of a call of a man in the Arabic peninsula, Allah knows how many thousand years ago, is a fulfillment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his obedient servant. We learned something. We really learned something. Today I said is big difference between hearing and learning, and between hearing and learning is another topic. Do we ready to implement? Do we ready to start working in our heart? I know people, look at the Saudi Arabia, how many phone booths he did in Jeddah. How many phone booths he did all over. They said 3 to 5 million phone calls. Okay? And sometimes up to 10 million phone calls in just a day of Eid. You are in the middle of Hajj. Your heart should be connected to Allah. You should be in takbir. You should be in tahleel. You should be in a set of things. Why are you hurrying? People hurry to leave. This is a state of sickness. You should be leave with humble and humility. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam get the gift and they get the house. The first house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one we focus and we face to it every time we pray all over the earth as a unity. As a unity. Unity of what? Sometimes people do not understand. First is a unity of heart. Unity of belief, unity of faith, unity of desire, unity of everything. If we understand what the meaning of Hajj, really what's the meaning of Hajj, all of us, the 2.5 million, have only one meaning, have only one desire, have only one state of the heart. Because every action you do, in a time of tawaf, you're asking Allah to forgive you. You are really trying to ask Allah to forgive you and said, here am I, Allah. I'm coming to forgive me and clean me. When you drink the water Zamzam, again. When you make two rak'ah behind Maqam Ibrahim, the same. When you do Safa and Marwa, everything belongs to Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam and Hajar alayhi salam. And after that we go to Arafah. The mountain of Arafah and the mountain of Rahmah. And we think, 125,000 companions in a sermon, last sermon in Arafat. Imagine, no loudspeaker, no sound system, and one man standing in a mountain of Arafah, which is a very short mountain, and he have 125,000. Do you know today, if you use your power of intellect, how many speakers you need? Or how many horn? And for how long distance? How 125,000 can hear one man? This is called the barakah of Allah. The blessing of Allah, when He wants something to be, will be. No rule and regulation. Imam Malik said something beautiful. He went Baqi' al-Gharda, the grave of Medina, and he calculated all the graves of the companion. He found approximately 10,000 and extra, meaning between 10,000 and 11,000 companions buried there. Do you know what this means? If 11,000 buried only in Medina, where is the rest of approximately 100,000 and 14,000 companions? Their graves is all over the earth. Today, when a Muslim man start doing some activity for Islam, the woman start complaining. Where are you going? How you do not make money for the family? You know, and start nagging about it. You know, you're leaving your house too much. You're not giving the right of your family. Is 115,000 companions do not know the right of family? Some of them marry more than four wives because they marry and they have what they own also. But if you have four wives and they have another woman and they have plenty of children and they're still leaving. To do what? Do you know where their graves? Jordan only have 35,000 graves. Yes, 35,000 graves in Jordan only. Why? Because of disease. When he was coming from the Persia and the disease came and 35,000 died. You have the grave in Bukhara, in Russia, in the Soviet Union area, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in India. Indonesia, Malaysia, you name it, you have graves. And imagine, think about it, just one way to go there and come back. How much? These people went and they never come back. Because their grave is there, not in Saudi Arabia. Imagine all this companion, the wife asked to get divorced because he's going in the path of Allah. If every man today said things to his wife, who going to care about the deen? Is the man belong to the house? If the man belong to the house, who's belong to the house? And who going to care about the deen? Who will populate the masajid? Who will teach and learn? Who will take care about the affair of others? Who will take care about the need of the ummah? Who will do jihad? Who will open? Who will invite? There's a lot of activity and a lot of need for Muslim men. Today, if every Muslim understands the duty in the top of his shoulder, he will be crying until he dies. And instead of our women helping our men to really enforce, to let them do something for Allah, wonder what happened. When we go to Walt Disney, when we go to Hawaii, when we go to Bahama, when we going to do that, when we going to build another apartment, this and that. Like even one American woman, she tell me, you guys are nuts. You coming immigrating here and you starting building back home. It doesn't make sense. People coming from Middle East, whatever, which country is he coming? Each one has one town, chaqqa, one apartment. Why you want houses all over? For something you cannot even stay in it. Where is the deen of Allah? Where is the thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Spain, 66 men and 2 women went to Spain. Spain was becoming a Muslim. How many of us today in America, but not too much Islam? And when somebody embraces Islam, mashallah, Allahu Akbar. And after he became a Muslim, we leave him. No brotherhood, no sisterhood, no support, no nothing. Even among us. Every stupid nationality have a group and have community. Every nationality and group, may Allah forgive me about word stupid, astaghfirullah al-azim, I do not mean it. But every group and every nation have a locality and have community. Where is our Muslim community? And we keep arguing with each other. The wife argue with the husband. The husband argue with the wife. The kids argue with both. And the men argue together in the masjid. And the women keep backbiting with each other. MashaAllah. Very good ummah. And this Islam. Wallahi, it's sadness. Oh Allah, wallahi, I'm saying it. Oh Allah, if we are in the tribulation and we are in a big, major fitna, oh Allah, take me. Wallahi, wallahi, I swear Allah. Oh Allah, take me now, even before 10 minutes after that. I cannot trust what's going on. It's too much blindness all over. My dear brother Islam, do we understand Hajj? Is a question each one of us has to answer. Do we understand the purpose of Hajj, the meaning of Hajj? What Allah wants us to learn when we are in Hajj? By the way, before you do Hajj, you should write your own will and you leave it in your home. Why you write a will before you go? It is a sunnah and a reminder, maybe you will never make it back. And ask yourself, whoever going to go to Hajj. Ask yourself, the one who going to go to Hajj, you did your will, you write your will according to Sharia, you advise your family according to Sharia and sunnah, what's he going to do if you die? Do you leave your family with the intention you never come back? This is the right intention. You ask your family to make dua for you. Oh Allah, accept our father.
or our parents not to come back, and if they come back, they come back as forgiven and accept their hajj. Now we stay in Arafat, but I won't end up with Arafat. Let's go to Jamarat, where the places where the devil, Satan, was shown to Ibrahim alayhi salam in three locations. And this is what we're doing. We imitate Ibrahim alayhi salam again. Why? With the intention is Allah is the greater. Because when we throw the Jamarat, we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greater, greater than mine, greater than my temptation, greater than the devil, they're greater than any weakness. And in the meantime, you think it over. In the middle of all this smoke and all this journey, you think about what? You think with all this smoke and all this hardship, actually you are in a paradise. You are in the road of paradise. Because Allah, with every stone you throw, Allah will eliminate and wash one of the major sins you did in your life. If you really think about it in the moment you're doing it, your action will be not the same. You find people, you know, laughing, throwing with slipper, doing this and that, cursing the devil. Don't curse the devil. The devil only whisper and we obey him. Why you complain about the devil? Where is the devil in Ramadan? The devil only whisper and temptation you, and after that what you do? You obey and you said, I listen and obey you. And I will follow your footsteps. Allah tell you, do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Follow me. Obey me and obey my messenger. Where is our sister and brother to hear that? Where is the open heart to recognize if I go to the grave, can I argue the way I argue in the front of my husband like that in the front of Allah? One brother, he called me and he complained about how his wife gave him hard time. I tell him, tell your wife, if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be with us, do you going to treat me the same way? Even if somebody or relative coming in the house, you going to treat me in the front of them in the same way? Imagine how hypocrite we are. In the front of other, we do not do that. And when other is going, we do whatever it pleases us. Where is Allah? Where is Allah? And we say Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, where is the heart? Where is the heart? We shy to show up our bad action in the front of others, and we're not shying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever do that, ask yourself, are you really honest with Allah? Do you believe Allah is watching? And the angel in the right shoulder and left shoulder is writing? One brother, I tell him to say this to his wife, and he came and tell me, you know, my wife said, enough of this record. Use different record. Do use different tape. Do this game to others, but do not do it with me. The name of Allah become game and record plays. Where we are and where we going? Do we really know we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we stay in Mina, what we doing? People start running after ice cream and something cold and fighting over some free milk or some free ice. Subhanallah. And ready to push each other and hitting each other just for a bag of ice or a bag of milk or a bag of ice cream. We were ready to steal each other's fan just to make sure they have extra fan and don't worry about the others. And find out which one is the shade. This is a reality, my brother. Some people said you're repeating yourself over and over again.
Do you get the message? Whoever tell me that? Do you really get the message? Why are we repeating? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah, he used to repeat every sentence 3 times. For a journey, it once in your life, and maybe you're never too young to take it again. The most important journey in your life, before the final journey in the front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we take it as it is too much. Where we are? Where is our heart? We worry about just to make it, but we not worry about obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know a brother, his wife fighting him to go, but Allah knows what kind of manner she is with him. She's completely a disobeyer. I know another brother, he really want to go, and his wife makes sure not to go, and she break everything loose in the house just to stop him of going. Imagine. Subhanallah. The reality of Quran showing. We become the enemy of each other. Subhanallah. How are we going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wallahi, oh Allah, again and again I say it loud and clear, oh Allah, take me. Take me before all this going on. Now we go back to Arafat. Waqfat Arafat. Standing of Arafat. And only when you think about it, it's only like 4 to 6 hours. Because by the time you reach and the time you have to leave, it's a very small amount of hours. And what people worry about? Where's the meal? You promised us this. You did not for this. Something came to me, I won't share it with you. When you buy a package from any company, you go there and you complain about the service. And you say, the service of this company is not the right for what I pay for. And you start complaining about even people who make mistakes you do not intend to do. You ever think about yourself? How much service Allah give you? How much bounty Allah give you? And what kind of service you did to Allah? You complain about $50, $100 a meal here and there. What about the one who provides day and night? And this time is his, is not your time. And you worry if somebody give you a meal a little bit late, or is not cold or warm, or is not fan enough, or somebody, you know, making sound when he sleep, or somebody take long in the bathroom. You find people are fighting over a stupid thing and losing their own hajj. Why? The heart is dirty and you do not understand. If Allah allow us to understand what is going on, we will be crying until we die if we just understand. In Waqfat Arafat, in the day of Arafat, the Prophet make a khutbah, make a sermon. And actually when we go to Arafat, actually we should have the same sermon. Do you know, brother and sister in Islam, what's meaning? One scholar tell me something beautiful. Once you hear this sermon, actually in the front of Allah, you already have the same obligation like the companion have exactly. Meaning, once you start moving from the mountain of Rahmah, the Mount of Mercy, you should move with the same intention of the companion did, with spreading Islam all over. By this way, your intention, male and female, older and younger, to spread Islam all over. And when we hear it, we will understand it. But we hear it, and we take it as a show. Everything becoming now like a show. But wallahi, the biggest show is coming, the Day of Judgment. And it will not be a show. It will be true. Al-Hakum al-Takathur. Surah al-Takathur. Hatta zurtum al-Maqabir. Kalla sawfa ta'alamun. Thumma kalla sawfa ta'alamun. You read the translation later on. And read it and find out what it's meaning. Surah al-Qara'ah. Surah al-Takathur. This is the reality. We're going to die. And we're going to be questioned about what we're doing. And imagine the only chance of you getting closer to Allah in the day of Arafah. And look what happened. This hours, what Allah wants from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be descended in the sky of his dunya. وَيُبَاهِ الْمَلَائِكَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angel, O angel, look at my servant. Is he coming from everywhere, looking for my forgiveness? O my angel, bear witness, I forgive them. Some of the early scholars, they said, imagine one of the main benefits in this gathering is maybe one person, just one person. One person, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his hajj. And one of the dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, O my angels, bear witness, I will forgive this person and whoever he asked for intercede in his behalf. Look at the mercy of Allah. And Allah wants us to be mercy to each other. Now inshaAllah we're going to the sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to remember this sermon, not just to hear it, to remember. Do we implement it? Is a duty incumbent about among us when we hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask ourselves where we are. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the mountain of Rahmah, mercy in Arafat, he's standing in the last sermon. And he said, O people, lend me an attentive ear, for I know not whether after this year I shall ever be amongst you again. Therefore, listen to what I am saying to you very carefully, and take those words to those who could not be present here today. O people, just as you regard this month, this day, this city as sacred, so regard the life and property of every Muslim as sacred trust. Return the goods entrusted to you to their rightful owners. Hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. Remember that you will be indeed meet your Lord, and that He will indeed reckon your deeds. Allah has forbidden you to take usury, interest. Therefore, all interest, obligation shall henceforth be waived. Be aware of Satan for the safety of your religion. He has lost all hope that he will ever be able to lead you astray in big things. So be aware of following him in small things. O people, it is true that you have certain rights with regard to your woman, but they also have rights over you. If they abide by your right, then to them belongs the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. Do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers, and it is your right that they do not make friends with anyone of whom you do not approve, as well as never to commit adultery. O people, listen to me in earnest.
worship Allah, say your five daily prayers, Salah, fast during the month of Ramadan, and give your wealth in zakat. Perform Hajj if you can afford to. You know that every Muslim is a brother of another Muslim. You are all equal. Nobody has superiority over other, except by piety and good action. Remember, one day you will appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer for your deeds. So be aware, do not stray from the path of righteousness after I am gone. O people, no prophet or apostle will become after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well, therefore, O people, and understand my word. O people, and understand my words, which I convey to you. I have behind me two things. I leave behind me two things, the Quran and my example, the Sunnah. And if you follow these, you will never go astray. All those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others and those to others again. And may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people. He said, in some report, three times, and he waved his finger to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brother and sister in Islam, when we really listen to this khutbah, this sermon, ask ourselves, how many times we kill each other daily by backbiting, by eating the flesh of our Muslim and sister, brother and sister in Islam? Sometimes I feel sad when I see even the own wife and children, or the own husband and wife, eating their own self. Imagine if our family structure becomes this much, what left? What left? If we cannot have a family, and we cannot have the unity and harmony in the family, how we can get the ummah together? Today, my brother and sister in Islam, I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy, and I ask, O Allah, guide us and save us, because our family become our torture. The relationship between husband and wife, children, husband and wife, children and father and mother, mother and relative, among the ummah, become so shame. Where is the mercy among each other? Imagine if we supposed to be a brother and sister to other, where is the brother and sister between each other? If marriage is secret between us and Allah, and we're supposed to be humble to each other and kind to each other. Today, I see the majority of Muslims today, the wife and the husband have no respect to each other, has no mercy to each other. Where did all this happen? Where it went? Because we lost the goal. We lost vision. We forget where we're going. And we're only running after ritual, running after Sha'a'a. We want to make Taraweeh, but we do not want to do it the right way, and we worry about the number. We want to make Salah, but we want the Imam to finish so quick. We want to do fasting, but we're running to the food, and we think about it all day. We're running to do Hajj, and we're running to come back, and we have no any, like, really understanding why we came back, and what we're coming back with. Everybody asks himself, oh, how many dress I bought, what kind of gold I get, what kind of clothing, if I get Zamzam or not. It becomes all ritual, all routine. I say it and I say it again. Is this Hajj? Hajj, I say it in first name, is to reach and immigrate to the ultimate destination, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the difference between one group and another, one company and another? But where is the companion who is going to go with you, who remembering you, and remembering Allah, and help you to remember Allah? Where is the pious people who help you and be with them? Where is the brother and sister you want to go together to share the unity? Where is the money you want to go with it? For extra money to go to make sure you give another Muslim fellow who is coming from all over. Even if they have, just to generate love and unity among Muslims. Where is the essence of what we heard? Is just to hear? Is just to talk about it? Allah know my intention of doing what I'm doing, just to remind myself first and remind you. Hajj is not a game. It's not Hawaii. It's not Bahama. It's not just, mashallah, 15 days. It's only 15 to 17 days. The maximum group go for like 21 or 24 days. When you minus the traveling and all the sleeping, you have only like 10 days left. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. My dear brother and sister in Islam, I said the meaning of all these stories. Do we heard it? Is me as a husband try to do my best? Is me as a wife looking at my own fault and my own tongue? Do we know, as a wife, if you raise your voice atop of your husband and disobey him and nagging, it is one of the major sins? And you can find it in a book called Kaba'ir, the major sins. Is the four quality of the woman of paradise and four quality of the woman of hellfire a Muslim or called Muslim? Do you know if you sleep and your husband is upset from you? You sleep as a cursed one, Malauna? People take it slowly. I find people argue with me, said it is his fault. Is his fault? Is his fault? You ever try to seek help from him and ask Allah? You ever try before you go to sleep and said, oh my husband, forgive me? Even if he commits a sin. Because if he commits something, it is his fault. But you, in the front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is responsible. One day I heard one sheikh from Saudi Arabia almost like 20 years ago or 30 years ago. He said something beautiful. He was in a gathering of a woman gathering. And one sister asked him, oh sheikh, my husband, he gambled and he drank. And he come every night drunk. And he doesn't make prayer at all. I have right to divorce him? He said, no. She said, how come? He said, because all what you prescribe is his job. Is he feeding you? She said, yes. He give you place to sleep? She said, yes. Is he will not allow you to pray? She said, no. I can pray the way I want. He said, meaning he give you all your rights and all the things you complain about it is his own business. Be patient with him, you get extra reward and make dawah to him. Maybe by your piety, he will become one day guided. Subhanallah. I look today to some family and some woman, they have no problem. They causing problem from no problem. They love to cause problem. They have a lot of sickness inside to cause problem day and night for no reason. I ask myself, where is Islam? Our material thing become number one.
If our kids do the homework, mashallah. If they come number one in a school and a college, mashallah. But if they do not make salah, if they do not read hadith, if they have no good manner, no problem. But they are successful. Is this success in our hand? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the last sermon, he said it. I was watching a tape about a man called Muhammad Asad. Muhammad Asad, if you do not know, he was a Jewish, from a Jewish background in Germany. He born 1900 and he died 1992. And he became a Muslim approximately 1922. And he became a scholar. And his name is Muhammad Asad. Inshallah, I will get you the tape. It's a beautiful tape from him. He said something beautiful. He was a journalist. And one day he was in Afghanistan and he passing by some villages. When the governor of these villages at this time, he invited him to spend the night with him. And when he was spending the night, this brother, at this time he was not a Muslim yet, he said to him, with all respect to you, governor, I have a question for you. You believe in Islam, you have a beautiful book, you have a beautiful messenger, you have a beautiful laws, you have a beautiful constitution by the Creator, how come you not living it? This now a non-Muslim talking to a Muslim. Look what the Muslim said. So he said to him, you know, you are a Muslim and you do not know. We happy about the second part, but think about his question. His question has a lot of meaning. We have all the happiness if we follow the book of Allah and the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will give us all the happiness. Do you know when you go to Hajj, is one of the purpose of Hajj to cut all the means from this life and to remember you're going toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you think about even the talbiyah, the one you say, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Here am I, Allah, here am I. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. I'm coming to you only Allah without partner. How you say that? And your heart full of wife and kids and money and this and that. How? It become again ritual. Is the angel coming in the state of your tongue or in the state of your heart? لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد all praise and all thanks to you. Today you know what's the problem with us? We're not content. Nobody's content. And we said الحمد لله على نعمة الإسلام وكفى بها نعمة. Thanks Allah to the gift of Islam and it is enough sufficient to me as a gift. What more gift do you think about it more than Islam? If you are the most wealthy person on earth today and you have no Islam, who you are and where are you going? Like one brother told me about the sermon of King Hussein when he was going to the grave. And with all the music. And people bowing to a dead person. Wonder, what more blindness than that? And among them is scholars. Imagine how much blind. Everyone will receive the final destination according his status of Iman. This is the truth. What kingdom of Jordan or any king will get after he died? The bowing to him or no bowing to him. Think about what he going to get in a grave. As in anybody can help him? Nobody even remember his name. He's finished. He's finished. People will come and all of us come and go. But we going to whom? To Allah. Do we really understand it? Today I get amazed. People read Quran day and night. Doing dhikr, but look at the manner, like garbage. It has nothing to do with Islam. Allah and His Rasul is bari, completely of what they're doing. like there's no Islam in their heart. Where's the servant to Allah? Is me a slave or a slave to myself? أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. Do you see the one who have his own nafs and desire and his own Lord? Is plenty of it today among us. Because when the command of Allah coming, no. The command of desire and temptation above the command of Allah. The obedience of in temptation and desire among Allah. The obedience of myself and my arrogance above the obedience of Allah. It is arrogant. Once he search, he has a book. It has a very beautiful bunch of ahadith regarding to a woman rights and woman manner with her husband. And she have a halakha with a bunch of women. Some woman reads a book and she threw it away. And he said, where is the right of the woman? I said, astaghfirullah al-azim. If you die tonight, you will be questioned about the right of you, or you will be questioned about you. Look at how blindness we are. I said to many people, even if your husband is a garbage can, his garbage can belong to him. He is responsible about his own faults, and you're responsible about your own faults. But again, blindness. Blindness. You think about all the calamity in a Muslim ummah, in the family, and think, what is the cause? You find no cause. We have food? Yes, we have food. We have shelter? We have shelter. We have clothing? We have clothing. What is missing? Like one scholar, mashallah, from Syria, he said something beautiful. He said, in the time of the companion, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people were slaves, actually a slave, but their soul is free. The heart is free to Allah. And they torture, and they will not drop Islam for nobody. He said, today when I came to America, he said, I found out you sold your Islam and you become a slave of material. And you are free physically, but spiritually you are a slave. You sold it without no torture. We torture ourselves in this life and hereafter for small material stuff. What more than that? I have people with me last year in Hajj, and they have bars. They own bars in America. They own bars. Not even a grocery with some alcohol. No, they own bars. And they go to Hajj. Look at the blindness. How much you become blind. My dear brother and sister in Islam, do we ready to meet Allah? Does anyone know what time of the angel of death will come? This is Hajj. Hajj is you going to Allah to purify yourself. How you purify yourself and coming back with the same manner? If you cannot obey your husband and wife now and be kind to each other now, when are you going to be obeyed? When Allah will be obeyed? You are a liar if you said, I'm waiting until I come back. Wallahi, you are a liar. Because if your intention is true, you start it now. You don't start it later on. A shaitan playing game with you. I see it all over. And that's why once he finish Hajj, the same routine. And more. Last year, before I left Medina, people are fighting each other physically in Medina for a gallon of water. Is a gallon of water in the front of Allah will do that? But this is the reality of the status of Zahar. Because don't forget, is a million and billion of shayateen once you intend to do Hajj. And many billion, Allah know how many angels watching every state of move of your heart and your body and your tone of voice. Do you know what the meaning Hajj? To go from the time you leave to the time you come back with complete obedience to Allah. This is what the Hajj is. If you cannot obey Allah in 15 days, how you can obey Allah? If you cannot obey Allah before Salah and after Salah, what kind of Salah? The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ دَمْ دَنْهَاهُ صَلَاتُهُ عَنْ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ فَلَا صَلَاتَ لَهُ. Whoever made salah and will not prevent him from bad deed is no salah for him. Woman, do not know. Do you know, sister, if your husband is not pleased with you, is no salah accepted for you? No good deed will be accepted for you. Yes, it doesn't matter what you do. Until you reach your husband and ask him, oh my husband, please forgive me and be pleased with me. But the arrogant, why she would say that? He's the one he did wrong. Are you reporting to Allah or are you reporting to yourself? Listen carefully now. Allah commands you to obey Him. His mistake is His fault. Your obedience and generosity is yours. I know a husband, he tell me, every time he called his wife and said, please, can you come, I want to talk to you. She said, what do you want from me? You come, I will not come. You listen to me, I will not listen to you. You say, astaghfirullah? She accepted that as a goodness, she doing it to the husband. She looked at it as he has to obey her. And she called him all kind of names in front of her own children. Imagine how much blind. And she never said, please my husband, do this or do that. The man coming and crying. Imagine this man when he cried at night to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where she would be. And what condition she is. And she's supposed to be a very pious woman. She finished juz every day. She read her Quran. She fast. She do zikr. MashaAllah. Yes. You get amazed today. How many people do all the ritual, but no manner and no obedience to Allah. No obedience. This is why I tell you, it's blindness. I know a man who go make 5 times salah in the masjid. But he liar. He lied to everybody. He's cheating. He borrowed money and he will never return it back. He played game with his own wife. He did too many mischief. And even he will not even see it. Wallahi, I see people, they do not see it. And even if you try to reason like now with them and said, watch this, we will talk about it, you will get very arrogant and very upset and they run. Like you did mischief to them. Today you go to a family problem and said, okay, we're going to get a couple of scholars and we're going to talk about what is the problem. You were rejected, like you talk about shayateen. No, no scholar, no. And start screaming to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran said, if you have a dispute among each other, follow the command of Allah and His Messenger. Today they said, no, American system. We follow American system. Is this Islam, my brother? Is this partner with Allah? Can you see it? My dear brother in Islam and sister in Islam, Hajj is immigration. Immigration from the state of sins to the state of obedience. Immigration from the state of partner with Allah to the state of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hajj is immigration from a state of being completely a slave of yourself and a slave of shaitan to the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Not part-time, full-time slave. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not an owner part-time. He's an owner all the time. It's not on the topic I like, I take, and the type I like, I do not like, I drop. Remember this. Remember when we go to die. I said this one time to some people who have problem to each other, and they said, enough talking about that. Every time we squeeze you in a corner, you talk about this. They believe they squeeze me in a corner. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the most wise among you, the one who remember death most, and the one who do after death. Do we really ready for that? We ask ourselves honest question. Do we really and are we ready? Slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we really try to do Hajj for Allah? Or just to finish something like the way we do Taraweeh? 1, 2, 3 and finish it? And just go from one ritual to another and be happy we did it? Do we really understand and live in a status of understanding when we do the ritual, why we doing it, and the state of the heart in each ritual? By this way we get elevated and be benefited? Do we know we're supposed to guard our Hajj by coming back with the right tongue? Do we know as a sister how many hadith about when you do Hajj, you come back and stay home until you die? Do we know as men, when we come back from Hajj, we have a duty to spread Islam? We have a duty to work for Allah? We have a duty to sacrifice our life for Allah? Do we know we have to build a good manner and immigrate inside of ourselves from bad manner to good manner? What about the state of the heart? What about all the disease? What about all the blindness? Do we really cry to Allah and say to Allah, open our heart? I do not believe those who are in a state of blindness asking Allah. Because if they ask Allah sincerely, Allah promised He will give guidance to whom He asked Him guidance. But you know what happened? All of them, I see something. They have one major disease, arrogant. They do not want to be humble. They do not want to admit they have a fault. They want everybody to say his fault, but they never admit it. And one of the signs of arrogant person, he tell you claim you did the mistake, but he never come and said, I did a mistake. Oh, please forgive me. Because if he does that, he will not arrogant anymore. Even if you're not wrong, Allah asks you to do it just to please. Word pleasing is not even obedience. A wife should not only obey her husband, to try to please her husband. Word pleasing is different than obedience. Doing even extra steps. One sister, she asked me, what I do when I do all this, what I get? I said, Allah will make you the queen of your own palace in paradise. Allah will elevate your beauty above the beauty of Hurayn, the beautiful creature woman in paradise. What more? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can elevate you to the point you will get the level of shaheed, the level of martyrs. By this way, you can intercede in 70 of your own family member. And we can keep going and on about the amount. Do we really wait for that? Do we understand that? Is this we put it in the top of our eyes? A mu'min, he's running and trying to be a championship to do before it's too late. Time is very short. Not the time of a tape. People complain, you talk too much about this topic. Tell me what topic is more important than that? If anybody can tell me what topic is more important than that? Is any journey in your own life is more important than that? I know people who go to Walt Disney, he prepare for months and buy guidebooks and buy maps and calling and study and do this and do that. And for Hajj, the majority of Muslims leave from here, America, to Mecca and Medina in the last moment. And they go in a state of ignorance. Some of them, they never shave. Some of them, they don't ever have ghusl. Some of them, even they didn't have a well. Some of them, they are completely in haram. Work and haram, forbidden action and forbidden money. Some of them is like, very, what I can tell you? I can keep going and on and on. Last year in Haram, just before Fajr, a person makes Salah, and all of a sudden, somebody was passing by in the front of him. And the man who makes Salah was a big beard. And wonder what he did. He did like that. Boom! He hit the man was flying. And he went back to the Salah, very humble, mashallah. Do you know the only place on earth if you pass by in the front of somebody is no any problem? Is haram. You cannot pass in the front of somebody any masjid in earth except haram is no problem. Yes? The Prophet ﷺ, he said of the meaning of to be standing where you are 40 years better for you than cutting somebody in the middle of salah. This is in the normal masjid. In haram, you have a license. You can pass by. I see people amazing. Amazing. I see a woman sit in a certain position where they're behind in a different side just to make sure nobody will come to them. I said, SubhanAllah. You are not shy? Forget about people. What about Allah? This is his own house. SubhanAllah, my brother. Please, my intention is to try to really focus in educating each other about Hajj and the importance of Hajj before the time is too late. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to do Hajj, accepted Hajj, meaning Hajj mabrur. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give us sa'yan mashkur, thanks to our effort. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us dhanban maghfur, meaning forgiving our sins, wa tijaratan la tabur, and a precious merchant and a precious business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never go away. We have to remember our business right now is keep going. We like it or we don't. Everything we do is a business with Allah, with bad or good. And in the day of judgment, we will get exactly according to what we done. No minus and no plus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts sincerely to Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give barakah to what we're doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make anyone here this day benefit from it, inshaAllah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our Hajj, inshaAllah, Hajj mabrur. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us prepare ourselves before Hajj and be ready to be completely in different state after Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everything we do purely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And please, if any question, call 914-692-5530. It's only for Allah, no money or anything. Our money and our price from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only try to seek Allah, you know, for pleasing and help and guidance, inshaAllah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولسائر المسلمين أجمعين أستغفر الله العظيم وأتوب إليك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحانك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.